did it. There we go. I'm going to start over for you online. So we have this growth chart on the wall. So we did this. We kept this growth chart because we expected our kids to grow. And we wanted to make sure that they made physical progress along the way. So we marked it on the door frame. And then if it was, you know, if they weren't growing like they were supposed to, we nourished them along the way, which probably explains why our groceries in the pantry were always empty. You know, it always seemed to coincide with a growth spurt. So when a baby goes for a baby checkup, what do they do? They check the weight and the measurement, right? Why do they do that? They want to make sure the baby's growing because that's what babies are supposed to do. And they grow into kids, and then kids, they keep growing as well. And when you haven't seen a kid for a long time and you all of a sudden see them, what's usually your response? Wow, right? Look how much you've grown. That's what is expected. So some of you junior high kids, I know, have shot up inches over the past summer. It's amazing how much you have grown. But that's how life works, right? It's expected. It's not. Sometimes it's surprising, but growth is part of life, at least until we reach full maturity. Until then, the natural thing to do is to keep growing. Babies grow, kids grow, adolescents grow. Even when we become adults, we still grow and mature. So growth is part of life. It's normal and natural. Growth is expected. What if I told you that growth is expected in your spiritual life? Just like physical growth, growth in spiritual growth is normal, it's natural, it's expected. In fact, the early apostle in his letter in the Bible, he encouraged the church to keep developing, keep growing in their spiritual lives. He says, but grow, say grow. That's right, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. So grow, Peter says. Yet somewhere along the way, I think it seems like many Jesus followers have missed that part of the gospel message. It's a little bit of a disconnect because most Jesus followers want their churches to grow, right? They want more people to be part of the fellowship. They want more kids in the ministries that are taking place. The church still seems to have this deep desire to see more people, lost people found and hurting people helped. The problem is, too many Christians have stopped growing when they are still spiritual infants. In the early church, that's a problem for the Apostle Paul. He knew that, you know, just as babies need to be nourished so they can grow, he sounded the alarm for the Corinthian church that they too needed to grow out of their spiritual infancy. He writes in the first letter to Corinthians in chapter 3, he says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You know, it sounds like Paul is telling the church, grow up, church. You know, it's important to realize that Paul loved the church. He started it, he labored over it, and he realized that they weren't thriving in the way that Jesus had intended, this abundant life that he came to give them. And as a result, they weren't living into this vibrant, Christ-centered life and church that they were meant to be. So Paul, he reminds them that they're missing out by not growing up. So they could be, he said, on solid spiritual food and experiencing this joy of maturing in their spiritual lives, getting beyond the troubles and trials that they were experiencing because they were still infants. If they would only align their lives, they would grow. So as followers of Jesus, spiritual growth is part of your spiritual life. So how is your growth record? If you were to record your progress on the doorframe of a closet, would your spiritual growth measure up? You know, would you see incremental markings along the way? Would you see highlights of how God is at work in your life? Would you see continuous check marks as you see your spiritual development taking place? Or would your mark be stuck down at the bottom hinge of the doorframe? So some of you, you might be thriving right now. If that's you, if you're growing like crazy, keep growing. Praise God. For some of you, maybe in the past you've had seasons of spiritual growth. You've experienced great growth, but maybe lately you're in a bit of a lull. You're kind of waiting for a new growth spurt. The growth has stopped. Maybe you're still realizing that the things that you're doing just aren't making a difference, and you're wondering, how do I kickstart this spiritual growth in my life? It could be that for you, the whole idea of having this inner growing spiritual life is all new to you. Maybe you've never even heard this before. So if you are growing, or if you are stuck, or if you're just beginning, the good news is that spiritual growth, like physical growth, is normal and natural. And as a follower of Jesus, it will come as you remove the roadblocks and align your life to grow. And that's what we're going to focus on in this series in the next 6 weeks. We're going to align for life as we nourish our growth that is already inherent in the life of Christ, in our lives. It's already in us. So what if I told you that spiritual growth is guaranteed to every believer? Guaranteed. That probably gets you a little excited. It gets me kind of excited, right? The idea that this is guaranteed growth. You know, when we put money in an investment, we expect it to grow. When we put seeds into the field, we expect it to grow and produce a crop. You know, when you go to school and invest your life in studying or invest in sports, you expect growth. So when you invest your life as a Jesus follower, the same thing is true. We expect spiritual growth. Because I think deep down, we all want to grow. We all want to be, what the Apostle Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trouble is, we get stuck. In his book, Kingdom Living, which is kind of a resource for this message by Tony Evans, he says, too many Christians don't know how spiritual growth occurs, or they refuse to allow it to occur. So if spiritual growth is this kind of natural outflow of being a follower of Jesus, then growth may be more about us getting out of the way and letting God do what God does to make us grow rather than what we are doing to make us grow. Maybe it's more about getting out of the way and letting God do it versus what we're trying to do. So I get curious about what could be slowing or stunting our spiritual growth. I ask that question, what stunts spiritual growth? And what gets in the way of this process of being a Jesus follower that allows us to grow? And I found that two things stand out. Two things. Blocking God's glory and blocking God's grace. Now, blocking is really important. If you are on the Buccaneer volleyball team and your opponent is coming up to the net ready to spike the ball, you need to jump up there, put your arms up, and what? Block that ball, right? But not so in spiritual growth. You don't want anything blocking what God is already at work doing in your life. So what do we look, as Jesus followers, we recognize that one of those areas where spiritual growth is being blocked is God's glory. So this could be a big revelation for someone today. Here it is. The purpose of spiritual growth, purpose is God's glory. God's glory. Let me say that again. The purpose of spiritual growth is God's glory. So not everyone has heard this before. So we want to be clear. The main purpose for your spiritual growth is not you. It is God. And God's glory is the reason that you grow. It's a kind of a big concept. So maybe it's not how you viewed God before. But the truth is, God exists for God's glory. Jesus taught his listeners, he said, I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. See, God is very interested in God's glory. And that's why the Apostle Paul taught that in everything, he said, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's right, for God's glory. So it's the same way with our spiritual growth. Paul tells us, what to grow in. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge. But let's look at why we grow. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. If he was up here speaking, this would be when he drops the mic. Oh, mic drop. Meaning like, that is it. It's all about God's glory. So the glory of God, it's all over the Bible. The word is doxa in Scripture. It's a Greek New Testament. In New Testament, it's about 200 times, about 400 times in the Old Testament. It means heavy, weighty, of great value. It is about drawing attention for worth and praise. So God's glory, it's a big deal. In fact, it's such a big deal that Tony Evans, he defines spiritual growth this way. He says, spiritual growth is being a person through whom God can express himself and display his magnificent glory. A person whom God's glory can be displayed. A week and a half ago, some of you witnessed a rare event. It was the blue supermoon that rose over the horizon. Did you see that? Wasn't it amazing? You know, there's just big orange ball rising up, and it was so amazing. In fact, this isn't going to happen again until 2037. So if you saw that, you saw how bright and beautiful and magnificent it really was. But, you know, it's actually not that big a deal. The moon actually didn't change. The only difference is that it was now closer to the Earth. And the moon, it has no light of itself. It only reflects the light of the sun. And so when it was close to us and it was reflecting the sun's light, we got to see it, and it was pretty awesome. So I think it's a good analogy of who we are at our best. We glorify God when we reflect his character and his light. So growth is about expanding our capacity to reflect God's glory. It's about getting closer. But then the opposite is also true, right? If the emphasis is on you instead of God's glory, then you cannot experience spiritual growth. So we're going to experience limited growth, limited impact, if we are more concerned about God's blessing, our plans and our purpose, our goals, rather than us being about God's plans and goals. So if we ignore God's purpose for us, we will not grow spiritually. I think John the Baptist, he got this in the passage that we heard read earlier. You know, everything seemed to be going really good for John, right? People were coming out to him from all over. They were repenting. He was baptizing them. It was amazing. He was getting all the attention, right? Until Jesus came along. And then when Jesus came along, people started going over to him. And his disciples were doing all the baptizing. And John's disciples started to wonder, hey, what's going on here? And the crowds came to John and said, hey, this isn't right. And John said this. He said, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend, he's talking about himself now, the friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy, he says, is mine, and it is now complete. You see, John was very aware of his purpose. For a season, his role was to bring people in, to gather them, to point them to Jesus, to baptize them, get them ready. But then when Jesus came, he recognized that it was not about John. It was all about Jesus. He said, he must become greater, I must become less. I think John knew the secret to spiritual growth. God always gets the glory. God's purpose becomes more and more in our lives, and ours becomes less and less. You know, I think that's why the Apostle Paul cautioned his readers. He says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I like how the author of Kingdom Living puts this. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, maybe you've been trying to change some bad habits, or your parents have been trying to change you, or your spouse is still trying to change you after all these years. But here's what really makes the difference. God wants you to change. If you want God to change you, then mirror his glory. Reflect his image. The Apostle Paul, he writes, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The good news is that if you want to grow, God is interested in that which brings God glory. So God will grow you when you make him your focus. God will grow you when you make him your focus. But we can still get stuck. So what else gets in the way of this guaranteed spiritual growth in our lives as a follower of Jesus? Well, blocking God's glory. We just talked about that. The second is blocking God's grace. Some of you remember during Super Bowl 37, there was a FedEx commercial that spoofed the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. You know, Tom Hanks, he was this guy who worked for FedEx. His plane went down. He got on a deserted island, and he was there for years. And so this person that looked like Hanks in this FedEx commercial, he goes up to the door of a suburban home with a package, and he delivers it, and the person simply says, "Thank you." And so he's curious about this package after protecting it for 5 years. He really wants to know what's inside. And so she opens it up and shows him the contents, saying, "Oh, not really much. It's just some seeds, a water purifier, oh, a compass, GPS, and a satellite phone." Things that would probably be pretty helpful, you know, on a deserted island. Well, like the contents in that package, all the resources that we need for spiritual growth, we already have. Sometimes we just need to open them up. So let's go back to the verse from the Apostle Peter. He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So I think too often we put the emphasis of spiritual growth on the second part, on knowledge, and then we leave the grace to the realm of spiritual birth. But that's not what this passage says. It says grow in the grace and knowledge, grace and knowledge. So there's this progression idea. Knowledge is important, but grace can't be left out. So it's true that you can't grow if you're dead, right? Dead people don't grow. Only in zombie movies. But some of you might have the idea that getting closer to God is all about learning. It's all about getting to know the whole Bible front to back. And you can do that. You can have the whole Bible memorized, but you can still not experience spiritual growth. Why is that? How does that happen? Well, Jesus told Nicodemus, he was a knowledgeable religious leader. He told him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Spiritually dead people can't grow. You have to be spiritually born before you can spiritually grow. So birth before growth. So the idea that you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to forgive you of your sins, that you have new life in him and are filled with his Spirit and everything you need to grow and glorify God. And maybe that's you today. Maybe that's your step of spiritual growth. In fact, if that is you, if you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't experienced this spiritual birth in a real and tangible way, then that's where we begin. And it might be just simply inviting Jesus into your life, just asking Jesus to come, that you believe, with a simple prayer, maybe like this. Maybe that's you online today. Maybe you just want to simply pray this. I invite you to close your eyes. And if you are looking to be born spiritually, a new life in Christ, then pray, "Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and all I need to grow and glorify you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen." If that's where you are in your spiritual growth journey, it has begun. Everything you need for growth is now within you. What is required is just nurturing that which God has given us. So birth and growth all the way to maturity. So how does growth happen? Well, here's the good news. As a Jesus follower, again, by new birth, you have everything you need. You grow by grace. Say grace. Grace. It's kind of this odd term, but it's God's favor. It's God's gift that's freely given. The Apostle Paul, he says that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not on your own, that anyone can boast, but you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So this idea of growing and serving and being who God has called us to be flows out of that new birth. The Apostle Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." In other words, grace is how we grow. Tony Evans writes, "The driving force of spiritual growth is pursuing a living relationship with Jesus Christ." So growing and maturing is not about a list of things that we do or things that we don't do. It's a whole lot bigger and a lot more rewarding than that. John the Baptist discovered that as Jesus becomes more in our lives and we become less, we begin to grow. But it's not about becoming less and forgetting about ourselves. Rather, it's taking hold of the life that Jesus came to give us, that fullness of life, that full life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So growth as a believer is normal and natural, and it is simply happens by feeding the life that is already in you by the Holy Spirit. So everything you need to grow, you have. Growth is guaranteed as a follower of Jesus. So when you become less, Jesus becomes more, and God gets the glory, and you reflect his light by grace. You grow. And here's where I'm going to invite you over the next 6 weeks to align for life. So everything you need, we said, you already have, but you can nurture that new life in you. And as a way of unblocking those hindrances and allowing yourself to grow, one way is through discipleship teams called life groups. Now, one of the places that I have grown most in my life has always been within a small group of believers. I mean, I like to think I preach well. You can argue with me on that. But, you know, I have not grown the most when I've sat under preaching. I've grown the most when I've been with small groups, studying the Bible, encouraging one another, and being challenged to serve and grow in the gifts that I have. And that's what I'm inviting us to do, to join into life groups that gather together and encourage one another to grow. So there, on your seat, you'll have a little sheet that describes what the life groups are about. It also gives times that they are going to happen. So in a life group, you join your peers to dive into the truth of God's word. You know, we do need that knowledge. And then we forge lasting connections with other followers of Jesus as we allow God to do the work that he's doing and encourage one another. And then embrace Christ's mission to serve for real life transformation. You know, if you really want to grow, then step out and begin doing God's word. Begin serving. Begin growing. So in other words, in a life group, you'll grow together, you'll connect together, and you'll serve together. And I believe this is where the church is heading. I've said in the past, we can't build a building big enough to house all the ministry that God has called us to. Is that right, Jeremy? That's right. And so we are called to, you know, grow. And this might be a life group here at the church. It might mean that you are being called to form a life group in your home and inviting people to come in around you. When you know they wouldn't come to church, but they'll come to see you and begin to join in these groups together. So I'm inviting you to join on Sunday, September 17th, next Sunday at 9 a.m., or on Tuesday the week following at 7 p.m., or Wednesday with a meal here this week at 6:30, and if none of those fit for you and you want to look at different options, go ahead and let us know. You can go to bethcov.org/life groups. There should be a link online. So how are you measuring up on your spiritual growth? Whether you are flourishing right now and maturing and reaching the top of the door frame on your spiritual growth mark, or you are somewhere in the middle or down at the bottom, we are about to embark on a spiritual growth journey into thriving as followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. So align for life. Sign up for a life group. Are you ready? Set. Grow.